Alright?
Such a good group. So good to see everyone. Have you done, are you old enough to do shopping online? Anyone have shopped online before? Quite a few. Great. So one of the best things about shopping online is you can put things together, right? Similar products together, and you can compare the price, you can look at the functionalities, and you can look at all the comments and all that, and then you can pick the good one, right? So in our series about two ways and two paths, we do pretty much the same thing. We look at two people together, side by side, and then to look at one way is the way of the righteous, and one way is the way of the ungodly, right? We can highlight the characteristics of these two directions. So then at the end, we will see one way leads to eternal destruction, and one way leads to eternal blessings. And of course, we want to go on the way of eternal blessings, right? And some of those characters we look at, the Bible puts them together, then we can look at the same story and find out the behaviors of two people, like Moses and Pharaoh, right? But some of them we have to pick them from different parts of the Bible. They are seemingly unrelated, but when we put them together, it sounds, you know, we can make quite a contrast, like Solomon and Paul, right? Today, we will look at a story that originally was not related, but the Bible purposely put them together. So we will look at the story like that. But before that, let's come to the Lord and pray to Him. Dear God, we give thanks to You for this gorgeous morning. We give thanks to You for this gorgeous group. We pray that Your Holy Spirit will be moving among us. Help us to understand Your will. Help us to walk on Your way. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This is quite a bit of scripture. May I have a volunteer to read this for us? Anyone? Victoria, can you read it loudly?
And being in Bethany at the house in time in November, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may deliver it. For me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard that they were glad, they promised to give him money, so he thought how he might conveniently betray him.
Thank you. So there are some concepts here, right? Some words probably may not be easily understood. So, what is a flask? Do we know? What is a flask? It's not a common word, but it's a jar, it's a bottle, right? What is alabaster? Do we know? Yeah, type of material. It's more like J kind of material. Yeah. So it's good looking with some patterns on the surface. It's like kind of like a marble, okay? Kind of material like that. And what are the other terms? Spina.
Spina is like the modern day lavender.
What is lavender?
Lavender is one of the essential oils.
Yeah, so spina is some kind of like an ornament with fragrant smell. And some versions translate this as pure nard. And it's made from different kind of flowers with good smell. Usually young women at that time kept a jar of that ointment for their marriage. So they would only use it when they got married. So, and the flask usually don't have any, they just seal it. Usually don't have a mouth, don't have a neck or anything like that. So when you use it, you just break the whole jar and to pour out the fragrant ointment. Okay, what are the other things? So this is a woman. Okay, from this scripture itself, do you know who this woman is? No? Mary? How do you know that? and who was criticizing her? Did it say? It did not say, right? Oh, okay, we will find out the answers. And also there's one term here I need to explain. Judas Iscariot. So sometimes people say, oh, Iscariot is Judas' last name. But it's not. Iscariot means a man from a place called Korea. So it's a city in the Judea at that time. So a man from Korea. Okay, so it's called his career. Okay, so let's find out the answers I posed to you just now. Let's turn on, flip to John 12. Are we there? Can I have a volunteer to read John 12, 1 to 6 to us? Anyone? Daniel, you want to read it? Can you read it just with loudly? Yeah.
So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany with Lazarus, which who had been dead, and he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of a very costly oil and spikenard on her home, and went to the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the angel of oil. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who had betrayed him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Who then now will be cared for?"
Okay, so did we find out some answers? Who is this woman? You got the answer now, right? Mary of Bethany, right? We all know the famous story, you know, they live in Bethany, Mary with her sister Martha and her brother Lazarus. Okay, so that's that Mary. And who here it says a group of people criticize her, right? Then who is the ringleader from here? Can you tell? John 12. It's Judas, right? Okay, and then from John 12, we also find out, when did this story happen? When did this meal happen? Can you tell from the time?
6 days.
6 days before the Passover, right? When is what Passover is this talking about? Do you know that? If you move forward, fast forward to verse 12 of chapter 12. Move over to verse 12. It gives you more context. So what happened to verse 12? Do we know? Adrian, what happened to verse 12?
Jesus was going to Jerusalem for the feast.
For the feast or for what else? What happened on the road into Jerusalem? when he was entering Jerusalem, what did people do? What did people do, Elizabeth? It was Palm Sunday, so people put palm leaves on the road and put their clothes on the road. So Jesus just riding a donkey just walk over on the palm leaves and enter Jerusalem. So that's the final week. That's the Sunday, Palm Sunday, when Jesus entered Jerusalem. So the feast we talk about happened one day before that. One day before that, right? Because it's the next day they enter Jerusalem. And we know Jesus entered Jerusalem on that Sunday, and then he went on the cross on the next Friday. So that's when we get to look at chapter 12, verse 1. It says 6 days before that Passover, because Jesus died on that Friday, right before Passover started. So that's 6 days before that. That's on a Saturday. So we all know the answer now. Great. So we all know this feast happened on a Saturday. But here, verse 10 and 11, actually it's a different story. It happened on the Wednesday after Jesus entered Jerusalem. Okay? So the feast and the betrayal of Judas to Jesus, they don't happen on the same time. So we know the Bible purposely put these two events together. Purposely put these two people together, side by side, to let us see what's the differences and help us to pick the right way. Okay. So, and also Mary of Bethany and Judas, they have similarities. They both have really common names. In the Bible, some people said there are at least six Marys, six different people whose names are Mary. And Judah also is a famous name. Judah or Jude. It's a really common name at that time. You know, one of the 12 tribes is Judah, right? And one of Jesus' younger brother, named Jude, they also bear the same roots. And also, they were all followers of Jesus, right? They listened to Jesus' teaching in person, not even through Zoom or anything, just in person, right? So great. But their directions are so different. And they met such a vast different destiny. So today we are going to look at these two paths. One is Mary, one is Judas. And we look at Mary, she is God-centered. And she was elevated as a forever role model. Because Jesus said, whenever gospel is preached, we need to tell the story of this woman. Right? Just now we read the scripture. Jesus said that. And also, Judah, he was self-centered. And then he was reduced to be a symbol of disgrace. So if I ask you to think of one thing that separates them, what will you think about? One thing that separates them. What separates these two persons? Can you think of a characteristic on the differences?
One is God-centered.
Yeah, the answer is there. One is God-centered and one is self-centered, right? What they value the most? They value God? Or they value themselves. Okay? So, the fundamental difference is the value. What do they value the most? So hopefully, their choice, their value, can encourage us to value on the right things. Okay? And to highlight their differences, we look at three aspects. The first aspect is accumulation versus deterioration. accumulation versus deterioration. And we all know success does not happen overnight. We all heard that, right? Success does not happen overnight. But you can replace success with many things, with many good qualities. Like patience does not happen overnight, right? Forgiveness does not happen overnight. Even your good grade does not happen overnight, right? Can you think of anything else you can replace success here? Anyone? Unselfishness does not happen overnight, right? Anything else? Can anyone give me something that's related to your life?
Jesus' growth and wisdom and stature.
Yeah.
So,
sure, yeah. Jesus even need to grow in stature, right? So,
the wisdom of God and man too. So, even spiritual growth takes time.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's good to aim high. It's good to aim high. But we need to do small steps. See, our big destination is about our making small decisions to accumulate step by step, little by little. Then we can add up to that stage. Okay? It's good to have high ideals. Like, I want to serve God for my life. But then how do we reach that? We need to do small things every day. Right? We need to take small steps every day. We need to put in the constant effort every day. So this is about our spiritual growth. It's about all kind of success. We want to do the hands-on, get our feet wet, and put in the everyday effort in order to get there. So how did Mary accumulate? How did Mary accumulate? First of all, she chose the good portion. Remember the story about Jesus went into Bethany, and he went into Mary and Martha's house, and Martha was, wow, we have a guest coming. So Martha was really busy working on the housework and trying to get the meal ready, trying to put the house ready and everything. But then Mary, what did she do? What did Mary do? Yeah, she listened to Jesus speaking, right? Listened to Jesus teaching. But then Mary got agitated. Mary said, I'm working so hard, and Martha got agitated, and I'm working so hard, but she is just sitting there listening to you. Hey, Jesus, please tell her to help me to do something. Right? But then what did Jesus say? She said, Martha, Martha, you worry so much, so many things. You have so much anxiety or anxious of so many things. But Mary has chosen the good portion. Chosen the good part. By listening to God's words. Listening to God's teaching. So as a result, Mary knew God's will. Even better than most of Jesus' disciples. Those apostles followed Jesus every day for 3 years. But it seems like Mary knew God's will better than pretty much all of them. Because right before Jesus went on the cross, those apostles, they were arguing. About what? About who was the greatest? It seems they all forgot what Jesus had taught them. Right? So, listening to God's will, listening to God's word, quietly, in our quiet moment, meditate on God's words, listen to God's words, reading God's words, is vital, is important, is an accumulation to do a small step towards that big goal, towards that big destiny. And also, Mary's accumulation is about obeying God's will, obeying God's will. Just now we read John chapter 12, but if you go to chapter 11, it's talking about the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus, Mary's brother, died. And Jesus delayed his arrival to Bethany. So everyone was mourning at that time. Mary was sad. So when Jesus came, Mary rushed out to meet Jesus. Martha and Mary both rushed. Mary stayed, but later on she went to meet Jesus. Okay? So although she might have some complaint, maybe thinking, Jesus, why you did not come early? If you have come early, then my brother will not die. Even though at that time, a lot of people were trying to comfort Mary. But Mary just abandoned them and then just rushed out to meet Jesus. Although she might have some resentment, but still she wanted to submit her will to God. She knew the only comfort came from Jesus. Even the whole room of people could not comfort her. And she knew only Jesus could comfort her. And then she knew God's will must be the best. So she did not complain, saying, you know, Jesus, that she did not just like become rebellious against Jesus or blaming Jesus. She was able to submit herself under Jesus' will and follow Jesus' instruction. And then eventually, she witnessed the great resurrection of Lazarus. So, Mary was willing to submit to God. So that's her accumulation. That's to do small things. Then eventually lead to the big things. Right? But then, on contrary, this is a deterioration of Judas. So Judas, he was the money manager. He was the money manager. Because when they travel to different places, people would offer money to support them and all that. Jesus and his disciples. People offer money to them. So they collect money into a money bag, right? Then Judas was the guy who was in charge of their money bag. So quite often he just took the money out of the bag to use for his own purpose. So that's his deterioration. So just now we read John 12:6, right? Judas criticized Mary, said, hey, you know, why waste all this money? We can use this money to help the poor. Because that's a lot of money. 300 denarii. So one denarius is one day's work. The wage of one day's work. Okay? So 300 denarii means what? It's almost 1 year's worth of salary, right? You can just imagine how much your parents make in 1 year. So Judas said, this is such a waste. We can use it to help the poor. But actually, he was not trying to help the poor. He was trying to enrich himself. Right? He was a thief. He wanted to enrich himself. He wanted to use the money for his own purpose. And he might be thinking, Jesus is about to die. Why you waste this ointment? It's such an expensive ointment on him. And he may be also thinking, Jesus is about to die. This is the last chance. I can gather some more money for myself so I can have a good retirement. Right? So whatever it is, he was selfish. And we can see Mary was doing small steps to accumulate good treasure. But Judas was focusing on earthly treasure. And he became a thief, and he continued to deteriorate. Okay? So, and we can look at a lot of examples on this small step of accumulation. So one of the greatest missionaries, whose name is Hudson Taylor, we all heard of him, right? Hudson Taylor lived in 1800s in England. And then he went to China to establish the mission organization and then introduce a lot of missionaries to go into China to help China to transition into the modern day culture, especially help the women to get rid of those foot binding tradition. You know the foot binding tradition? Means women, when they were born, they used cloth to wrap up the feet to prevent the feet from growing. Such an evil tradition. Missionaries help China to break that evil tradition. But Hudson Taylor did not just say, hey, one day he just wake up from his dream and say, hey, I want to be a great missionary to go to China. But he did not do that. He did a lot of accumulation. Actually, when he was young, he broke away from his faith. He abandoned Christian faith for a while. And then he came back. And then when he was about 17, he felt a calling from God to go to China to be a missionary. So at that time, he decided to move into a really poor neighborhood, start to serve those poor people, to simulate that process. And then also he spent the time to learn medical skills, thinking, you know, he can use the medical skills to help people when he went to China. So after a few years, he finally made the trip to go to China. And eventually, he died in China. So before he could accomplish such a great feat, he had to accumulate. He had to put in the work to prepare himself. That's the accumulation. How can we accumulate? Can we accumulate? To do small steps? To take small steps and do small things towards that big goal? Towards maturity? Just like as Jesus grew into maturity, we need to take small steps to grow into maturity too, right? There are many, many things we can do to accumulate, to prepare ourselves, especially when you are young. You have a limited future. But we need to take steps today. Okay? So when we look at Mary and Judas' story, there are many things we can accumulate. I would like to highlight three things that we can accumulate starting from now. One is accumulate in knowing God's word, right? Mary chose the good part, to listen to God's teaching. And we need to spend time to know God's word. Because that's the good part. That's the good portion. That's the eternal treasure. That's more meaningful than anything else we do. Take advantage of your personal time to read the Bible. Take advantage of coming to the church to study the Bible together, either on Friday or on Sundays. Take every opportunity to know God's word. That's something we can accumulate. And accumulate in money management. Just now we see Judas, you know, his deterioration is to focus on earthly treasure, right? Sometimes money can ensnare us, can keep us captive, can drive us into craziness. Okay? Although most of you, don't have much money yet, but still, we want whatever we have, we can make decisions. We want to keep the money all for ourselves, or we want to share it with other people with less fortune. Right? We are doing Christmas shoebox right now, right at this moment. Are we willing to share what we have with less fortunate people? People live in poor areas in the world. Our gifts can make a long way. Our gifts means a lot to them. Can lead them to know Christ. Are we willing to do that? That's small accumulation we can do. And also accumulate in facing criticism. Right? We are criticized from time to time. Probably we are criticized by our parents, even this morning, have we? Or we are criticized by our peers, our teachers, whoever. When we are criticized, our first impulsion, our first reaction is we want to defend ourselves. We want to justify, right? But when we see Mary's story, she was criticized multiple times, right? She was criticized by Martha for maybe doing nothing, just listening to Jesus. And she was criticized by Judas. Each time, we don't see her justification. We don't see her debating with the person who criticized her. Rather, she let Jesus to come to her defense. She let Jesus to come to her defense. Each time, Jesus defended her. Did we see that? When Martha criticized Mary, Jesus defended Mary. And also when Judas and quite a few other people criticized Mary for wasting the ointment, Jesus came to her defense. Okay, that's how we can learn. Sometimes we feel like we have a lot of grievances. Sometimes we feel like we are treated unfairly. Let Jesus come to your defense. You don't have to jump to justification every time. Let Jesus do the work for you. Then you can experience Him a lot more. You can get a lot closer to Him. So, with this accumulation and deterioration, we see the contrast. And we will see the result. These two decisions that will lead to. After the accumulation and deterioration, we see the end result. One is a breakthrough, one is a breakdown. One is a breakthrough, one is a breakdown. So Mary's breakthrough is right before Jesus went on the cross. She offered the best she had. She offered that alabaster flask of spikenard, the most valuable thing for a young girl. That's all she had. And then she sacrificed that. She broke the jar. She poured it on Jesus' head for His burial. That's her breakthrough. She did not hold back. She offered everything she has to Jesus. But the breakdown of Judas is the betrayal of Jesus. He went to the Jewish leader saying, "Hey, I can lead you to capture Jesus." And they gave him 30 pieces of silver as an exchange. So we can see breakthrough and breakdown. And we can see the breakthrough of Hudson Taylor. With that accumulation, and eventually he went to China. He made a fundamental difference. He fundamentally changed the culture of China. He did so much. He became one of the greatest person who was used by God. And we also see the breakthrough of Eric Liddell. Or some people say Liddell. I mentioned his story last week, briefly. Eric Liddell also, he did the accumulation. He followed God. He was born in China as a kid of a missionary family. And when he was about 5 or 6 years old, he went back to Scotland to do school. He was an athlete. He ran 100 meter dash. He was the most favorite person who win that 100 meter dash in the Olympic. I think it's 1924 Olympic. But he respect God. He worship God. In that Olympic, because of the preliminary heat happened on a Sunday, on 100 meter dash, he make the decision, say, "I'm not competing on Sunday. I need to go to church on Sunday." He make that decision. That's his accumulation. He said, "I'm not going to run this 100 meter dash." Although everyone recognized he could just easily have won that race, got the gold medal with no problem. But he said, no, I'm not going to run it. So he said, I'm going to run this 400 meter race. But 400 meter race was not his strength. People said, you're a fool. You will not win this. You're a traitor too. Even the prince of the British prince, the royal family, came to him saying, hey, change your mind. But he said, no, I reverend God first. So he gave up that entry that he could have won easily. He picked one that people thought he could. There's no chance for him to win. But then God honored him. He ran that race. He won it with style. He won it with style. And he broke the world record at that time. And his record lasted for 52 years. Such a great breakthrough. But it takes small steps to accumulate, to prepare his heart for it. It does not happen overnight. This accumulation led to breakthrough. Can we experience the breakthrough? Do we want to experience such a breakthrough? Do we want to be used by God mightily one day? We can all experience this breakthrough. But there are some keys. There are some keys for us to experience this breakthrough. What are the keys? Key number one is to experience the enormity of God's forgiveness. Is to experience the enormity of God's forgiveness. How bad were our sins? How bad were our sins? How terrible the result would be had not God forgiven us. If you think, oh, okay, you know, I was a good person, I'm okay. God came to my life to help me, and it's great, it's in addition to whatever great things I have been doing. Then you are not understanding the true picture. You are not understanding the great value of God's forgiveness. And usually you won't go too far if you have this kind of thinking. But if we deeply realize we're deeply sorrowful about the sin we have against God, against people, and we have this deep understanding that God has forgiven us all, then we won't be held back. We won't be held back. The more we have gotten, the more we are willing to give. So just imagine if you receive $1 million from someone. Will you be reluctant to pay back $100 to the person who gave you that money? You won't, right? Because you receive $1 million. What does $100 do, right? You will easily just spend that $100 to pay back. But if you don't realize you have that money in your reserve, you don't realize that God has given you that much money, then of course you say, I don't have money to give you back. God's forgiveness is greater than that $1 million. But we need to realize that. We need to experience that. Without God's forgiveness, we were all heading into the wrong way. We were all heading into permanent destruction. But God has saved us to turn us back. How great a value is this? We need to realize the enormity of that forgiveness. The more we realize the great value of this forgiveness, the more we are willing to serve God, to give our time, our effort, and our talent to serve God, to use for His purpose. So Luke 7:47, Jesus said, talking about a woman, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So the person who realized she was forgiven a lot, then the person would love God more, right? But the person who said, hey, I don't need God's forgiveness. God, you came to my life, you forgive me, that's great, but I don't really need to. I am doing great already. If you have this kind of mentality, you won't be willing to give God all you have, right? So the more is forgiven, the more the person loves God. The little is forgiven, the little the person loves God. It's not the person is forgiven little, it's the person did not realize God has forgiven him or her. Okay? Person who cast aside God's forgiveness, to take God's forgiveness as granted, for granted. So Hudson Taylor said, if I had 1,000 pounds, China should have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China should have them. No, not China. It's not for China's sake. But Christ, can we do too much for him? Can we do enough for such a precious Savior? Let's focus on the last two questions. Can we do too much for him? Can we do enough for such a precious Savior? That's a person who understood God's forgiveness, the enormity, the tremendous forgiveness. So, he does not hold back. He says, no matter what I do, it's not enough for God. I cannot pay God back enough because I received so much. That's a true understanding of God's forgiveness. So this kind of mentality can make the person to have this breakthrough. To have this breakthrough. The breakthrough similar to Mary, to offer all what she has. Okay, key number two. So the key number one is to experience the enormity of God's forgiveness, right? Key number two is the desire for the glory of God's presence. How important is it to us to be with God at the end? We need to think about this question. How important is it for us to be with God at the end? Right? Some people say, oh, I really don't care about eternal destination. I just live on earth. I want to be a good person so Jesus can help me to be a good person. But at the end, who cares? If we have this mentality, we will be held back. We will always calculate before we offer to God. But if it's important for us to meet God at the end, to be greeted by God, say, you are good and faithful servant, then nothing can hold us back. The more we long for this presence, God's presence, the less will we be held back. Okay? If we don't care about God's presence at the end, then we just live on earth. We just value the things on earth. We don't value to be with God. Right? So 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temporary in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So if we live on earth, we just do whatever you know everyone is doing, and people try to live a good life and drive good cars and live a bigger house. And if we are into those things, we just like everyone else. And we receive the perishable crown. Okay? Those things will pass away. One day all those things will be useless. But if we are for the imperishable crown, that is, at the end, God will give us this reward. God will give us a crown for this reward. If we are focusing on that, if we value that more than anything else, then we would be willing to sacrifice for God. And we will experience His breakthrough a lot easier. but it's about our focus. It's about what we value the most. So Jim Elliot is the missionary to go into South America, and then he was murdered over there. And then he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's the right focus. That's the right value. This kind of value fostered him to do great things for God. So what we value determines if we can break through or not. Okay? We all want to have this eternal breakthrough. We want to do great things for God. But we need to take small steps. We need to understand those keys. We need to deeply understand how great this forgiveness is. And we need to have this deep yearning to be with God one day. Those are the keys. And also, what we value also determines our effectiveness on earth, too. Not just we will have the final breakthrough, not only just we will reach God at the end to be with God forever, it will determine the quality of our lives on earth, the effectiveness on earth as well. That leads to our final point. Dedication versus deception. Dedication versus deception. So we all know that Mary dedicated everything she had for God, right? But Judas had this deception. He put up a really nice slogan or pretense to be doing good, right? He and a few others say, hey, why wasted this money? Why wasted this precious ornament? We can use it. We can sell the ornament and to get the money, and then we can serve the poor people. It's a pretty good slogan, right? It's a pretty good argument. It's hard to refute, right? But then we look at the true motive. We look at what Jesus valued. Anyone remembers what Jesus said after they criticized Mary, saying, you should not waste the money? What did Jesus say? Anyone? You sin for God?
The poor you always have?
Yeah. You always have poor among you, but I'm going to die. So Mary is doing this for my sake, for my burial. Okay? So then everyone who is preaching the gospel should tell the story of Mary, because she dedicated to God first. But from the surface you say, wow, Jesus seems, he does not care about the poor people. Isn't it true? It seems like, wow, Jesus just values himself more than the poor people. From the surface, it's like that, on that short paragraph. But actually, Jesus is calling us to serve others, to serve poor people, to serve everyone around us. Right? So when Jesus said, when I'm hungry, you fed me, when I'm thirsty, you gave me drink, when I'm sick, you came to visit me, when I was put into prison, you also came to visit me. But then the people said, well, when did we do that? We did not do any of that. But then Jesus said, for surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So Jesus said, you do it, you serve other people, then you are serving me. So Jesus encouraged all the believers, all the followers, to serve others. But the order is really important. The order is really important. When we dedicate ourselves to God, then we will have the resources to continuously to serve others. Can you imagine if they sold that ornament to get 300 denarii to serve the poor people, right? But eventually the money would dry up, isn't it? They would spend all their money, but then what next? Right? What next? How do they continue? If we don't believe in God, if we don't connect the source to God, then we will use up what we have, then we are dry up, then we cannot continue the effort. Okay? But when we dedicate ourselves to God, then we will have God's help to continuously to serve others. That should be our order. That should be our focus. We love God first, then we love people. Not the other way around. We love God first, and we love people. Loving God will give us the motivation to continuously to serve others, to love other people. That should be our dedication. That should be our priority. In this world, you see, you hear a lot of slogans saying, hey, go to help people, go to help people. Yeah, we should help people. But the first thing is we should connect to God first. We should dedicate ourselves to God first. Otherwise, we won't have the motivation. We won't have the energy. We won't have the resources to continuously serve others. The order is important. Don't fall for the deception of humanism. Humanism is what we see a lot in today's society, in today's culture. They have nice slogans. They all promote helping the poor people. But the way they try to help the poor people is, you don't need God. Don't introduce God into the picture. We just want to help people our ways. So you see a lot of teaching about socialism, or about communism, about share good people's wealth so everyone can be the same. We should help, especially for fortunate poor people. They should help those people with less fortunate. But the thing is, if we don't know God first, if we don't connect to God, eventually we just use up everyone's money, and everyone will be just equally poor. Okay? So don't fall for those humanism teaching. We hear a lot in today's society, in today's culture. And we may be confused. Say, what they said is right. We should share our wealth. We should help them. We should reach equality. But if we don't know God, everything will be in vain. We need to know God first. Dedicate to God first. Otherwise, everything is just a deceptive scheme. The people who are shouting the slogans, they enrich themselves. But the poor stay poor forever. Just like Judas. He was not into really helping the poor. He was about to enrich himself. Okay? A lot of people like that, a lot of politicians like that in today's world. They said their goal was to fight for the poor. But eventually they became billionaires, but the poor are still poor. Okay, so we need to, if we want to do great things for others, this is the priority. To dedicate to God first, then put up the good work. Not the other way around. Okay, so that's, I hope we can take from today's lesson. So we do the accumulation rather than deterioration. The accumulation will lead us to the breakthrough rather than the breakdown. So Mary of Bethany, her accumulation led to the ultimate breakthrough. Her dedication is an example for all. And Judas, his deterioration caused the eventual breakdown, and his deception should be alarming to all of us. May God help us to stand strong in today's world. Let's pray. Dear God, we give thanks to you for the story of Mary and Judas. We pray that their path, their decision, can encourage us to make the right choice, to choose the good part, to help us to have this breakthrough as well, to follow you. Help us to be effective on this earth, and help us to be with you forever in the future. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.